It is a joy to be here this evening, and just as Pastor Rabert was sharing, holiness, holiness is what I long for. Righteousness. In the presence of God to tangibly come upon our lives and transform us. I had an experience in 1982 which totally transformed my life. Prior to this experience, I was an atheist, I was a heathen. But I had what is termed a life after death experience, having been stung by 5 deadly box jellyfish while night diving on an outer reef. And as I apparently left my physical form, I came into what can only be the presence of Almighty God. And as I found myself being drawn up into His presence, it's waves of His love. Waves of His radiance, His holiness and purity began to flood through me. And every single part of me started weeping because His touch just intensified and the presence of His light and radiance just continued to wash over me and bathe me as more of God's unconditional love flooded into my heart. So when God touches your heart, you're never the same. When you feel the love of God, you're transformed on the inner man. I'd heard about religion. I'd been raised up in a traditional church, Episcopalian Anglican church, but all I knew was stand up, sit down and kneel. I knew nothing of the presence of God. But my heart over these last 14 years since that experience has said, Lord, bring more. Lord, fill me. Transform me. I want to bring honor and glory unto you, Almighty God. Take my life. Take my life. I was raised in New Zealand, brought up in a very beautiful nation, great rugby team. We're praying and fasting for the world, for the World Cup. The whole nation went into mourning last year. I don't think they've recovered. Shock was another word that hit them. But we're improving. You see, God blesses a nation that humbles itself. And we were humbled. I was brought up, my wife is from Vancouver, Canada, so we're from the Commonwealth, other side of the world. We met in Singapore, and we've been married for the past 7 years. And but New Zealand's very, very beautiful, and we're real sportsmen. We love traveling. We're real pioneer type people, and we love adventure. Like to go to the extreme. That's where bungee jumping came from. And nuts. Well, I was a surfer. I was a diver. I was a rugby player. I basically spent most of my time outdoors hunting, fishing, and occasionally worked. But as a farmer, you got to work a lot, unfortunately, 7 days a week. But then when the cows were dry, you're able to go off to the and do the things you enjoy. Now, I was brought up as a lifeguard, as an instructor in scuba. My friends and I used to surf a lot. And in 1980, I left my nation and traveled for 2 years around the world, through Southeast Asia, through Bali, through Sri Lanka, through Malaysia, and sailed down on a 96-foot schooner to Mauritius. And then I ended up running out of money in Mauritius and came to South Africa in 1981 and found a job in Umhlanga Sands Hotel. And they paid me to teach people to windsurf, water ski, jet ski. I couldn't believe it. They paid me. Very, very beautiful, you know, part of the coastline up around Umhlanga and the Natal. And my brother wrote to me from New Zealand and encouraged me to come back to New Zealand for his wedding. 1982, I returned via Reunion, surfing through St. Louis, St. Pierre, and then came back into Mauritius. Now, I was a very keen surfer, but also dived. And we used to dive at night. And we would dive on the outer reef of Mauritius looking for crayfish and for crab. Any divers here? Any night divers? It's Sometimes you have a few people that are crazy as I am. But we would dive at night because late at night the crayfish would come out, the nocturnal scavengers. The fishermen knew the secret of it. If they dive late at night, they could blind the eyes of the crayfish and the crab, pick them up, and then just throw them into the boat. Also, the parrotfish would be sound asleep. So as divers, we would get 50, 60 lobster in one night. Well, I call them lobster because the Americans confuse me. They call them lobster. Now, we would dive for them, and then we would sell them to the tourist hotel. This particular night I went diving, unfortunately, there were thousands of jellyfish had been brought up onto the outer reef. Many species of jellyfish, but this one is called a box jellyfish or a sea wasp. It is rare in Mauritius, but occasionally this particular species comes up and is lethal to man. The locals call it ombizab or invisible one. Another name they give for it is globe. As I was diving that night, to cut a very long story short, I was hit four separate times by this deadly jellyfish. Some books say it is more deadly than a cobra, taipan, black mamba. It is potentially the most toxic venom known to man. August of 94, National Geographic put out an article on it saying it had killed over 70 Australians and it is so lethal it can stop an adult human heart in under 3 minutes, depending on where you're hit. Fortunately, I was hit on the forearm. By the time I got out of the water, my arm had already blown to double its normal size and where the tentacles had hit were like burn blisters. The toxin quickly moved through my right-hand side and began to paralyze and constrict my lungs. As I stood there, the fisherman came out of the water, saw what had happened to me, the Creole diver, and told me that one of them, Ernie Bissab, Saphony, that one of them was enough to kill me. This man had dived since a child. As Simon told me that, he said, I must quickly get to the hospital, to Katramon Hospital. Take me back into the water. The fishermen dragged me into the boat to safety, and as they did, I got hit with a fifth one. As the fifth one hit me, I thought to myself, Ian, what on earth have you done in your life to deserve this kind of punishment? I had a flood of memories of things that had done wrong in my life come before me. I thought, great, forgot about that. Did that too. Ever done anything wrong in your life? 10 people and 5,000, not bad, eh? You can polish your halo later. Well, here I am, I'm a heathen, I'm dying, and you don't expect to be dying at 24 years of age. By the time they get me to shore, the poison's already paralyzed half of my body. I don't have time to go into the detail tonight. I've left a video with the church. You're welcome to copy it. There's no copyright. You can freely do what you like with it. Freely receive, freely give. Before I could get into an ambulance, my entire body had already been completely paralyzed. It had gone through muscular contortions. And by the time they got me into the ambulance, necrosis was setting into the core of my bone marrow and coming up from the tips of my feet up into the inner part of my shins. I studied veterinary science at university when I did my degree in agriculture, and I knew from my own physiology that I was very close to clinical death because the necrosis was coming in. As they got me into the ambulance, they began to race me towards Katramon Hospital. As the Victoria Hospital, as they began to do that, they inadvertently put my feet in the front seat of the ambulance and my head was in the back. As we climbed the ridge towards the hospital, the poison and toxin that was located now in my lower trunk began to flood into my vital organs. I could feel my heart and my lung literally beginning to shut down as the toxin just drained through gravity into my mind. As I'm clinging to life in this ambulance, I began to see what appears to be a small boy with white hair, like in a video clip. I thought, what's this? As I watch it, I'm aware that this is my own personal life coming before me. I thought, I've heard about this. People have commented on TV programs that they see their life flash before they die. Am I that close? With my mind, I did a mental check on my own body. I knew I was very close. I thought, if I died, where would I end up? Is there life after death? When a man dies, is there just nothing? As an atheist, I felt there'd be nothing. But I was also a gambler. I was a gambling atheist. Well, I'm playing what I'd call, in gambling terms, Russian roulette with my life. I thought, I have no idea what would happen to me. I don't know what would go on, where I'd go if I died. I don't even know if there's life after death. As I'm questioning this in my own mind, in my own heart, I see directly appear in front of me now a clear vision of my mother. I And as I see her, I can see she's praying. Oh, shaken. I've seen my mother pray many times. She was the only believer in our family, the only Christian. And she'd pray for me every day of my life. She said, "Son, I never taught you to act like that. Why do you do these things?" I said, "Mum, there's no God. It's just all make-believe." But here I am dying. And I had no idea until I returned back to New Zealand that at that precise time, my mother was on her knees praying. And God had just spoken to her and said, "Your eldest son Ian is nearly dead. Pray for him now." And my mother began to pray and cry out to God for me. Not knowing any of this until I returned back to New Zealand, I see her face appear directly in front of mine. She looked me in the eye. She said, "Ian, no matter what you've done in your life, son, no matter how far from God you may be, if you will but call out to God from your heart, God will hear you, Ian, and God will forgive you." I thought, "God, forgive me? If there is one, it's too late. I've done too many things wrong. How could God forgive me? And who is God?" I questioned in my own heart. I'd seen thousands of gods through Southeast Asia. Everyone seemed to say this was their God. I lay there and said, "God, I don't even know who you are. I don't even know who God is, but I am nearly dead. If you can hear me, I feel like a hypocrite trying to talk to you at this point in my life, but if you can hear me, please help me to pray. I do not know what to pray." Words appeared in front of my eyes. "Forgive us our trespasses and sins." Oh, God will never forgive me. I know in my own conscience, it's too late. My mother, in this clear vision, said, "Son, pray from your heart." I thought, my heart is like stone. You could strike a match on it. I lay there and said, "God, I don't know if there's anything soft left in my heart of stone. But if there is, I sincerely ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I do not know if you can. I don't have time to list them all because there are so many. But if you could possibly forgive me of every evil thing I've done wrong in my life, I ask you to forgive me of my sins." The words disappeared. Fresh words. "Forgive those who have trespassed and sinned against you." I thought, that's easy. I can forgive people. I'm not a vindictive person by nature. That's very easy. No worries, God. I can forgive people that have hurt me. As I said that, the face of a man I couldn't forgive appeared in front of me. I thought, what on earth is this man doing here? The voice said, "Will you forgive this man?" I thought, "No, must be joking." Up came another man I couldn't forgive. I thought, what's this man? Have you got people that you have difficulty forgiving? Tell you what, it was a lot easier asking God's forgiveness than to forgive these men. I lay there and God asked me to forgive them. I thought, man, these words, my mother called these the Lord's Prayer. This voice, it's not mine. Is that God? Is Almighty God speaking to me? I lay there and said, "God, I do not want to forgive these men. I have no reason to forgive them. But I'll do this. If you could forgive me of my sins, if somehow you can forgive me of all the things I've done wrong in my life, and I've hurt people unintentionally at times, if you can forgive me, I don't know how you can do it. I'll forgive these men. I'll never touch them. I'll never lay my hands upon them. I'll never seek them out all the days of my life." As I said that, their faces disappeared. Fresh words appeared. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy will. That's God's will. I've done my own will, my own thing for 24 years. I'm independent, self-sufficient, proud of it. I didn't believe you needed a God. There was a crutch for weak people who couldn't handle reality. I lay there and said, "God, it appears as only a miracle will spare my life. If you can hear me, I do not know your will, but if I come through this experience, I will sincerely try and find your will for my life and follow you all the days of my life." As I prayed that, the entire Lord's Prayer appeared in front of me. I prayed from my heart and an amazing peace settled over me. As best I knew how, I tried to make peace with my Maker. Should he be able to hear me? And should he be able to forgive me? I tried. The ambulance stopped. They lifted me into a wheelchair because I was totally paralyzed and raced me into the accident emergency of the Victoria Hospital. As they brought me in, the nurse couldn't find my blood pressure because my veins had collapsed. I was so far gone that they couldn't find a pulse. Still, my eyes open, frantically trying to keep awake. I knew that if I closed my eyes, I could potentially slip into a coma, which would be certain death. I knew I must remain cognitive and try and fight the poison and the constriction which was trying to take me down. As the doctors saw my blood pressure results, pandemonium hit the accident emergency, and I had people putting injections with antitoxin drip feed into me. I felt like a pincushion as they tried to save my life. My veins had completely collapsed, and they tried to manually massage it into my hand. And as they did, the scary thing was I could hear everything they were saying, but I was going further away. I could feel myself almost leaving, almost in a third party, what was taking place. And if you visit a person in a hospital, even if they're in a coma or a life support system, I warn you, be very careful what you say. You can speak either words of encouragement, or you can speak words of death into them. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I see some people say things when a person is at the deathbed. If you've got nothing good to say about a person, please don't go and visit them. Because I could hear, but I knew I couldn't. I felt myself being removed from it. The doctors lifted me out of the wheelchair, saying that's all they could do for me, but they had to encourage me to continue to fight, keep my eyes open. Within a few moments of that happening, I couldn't. I closed my eyes, thinking that I'd go to sleep for a few, 5 or 10 minutes, wake up and try again. As I closed my eyes and breathed out a sigh of relief, I felt an amazing release, as though something had broken free from my physical body and no longer did I have to fight to stay alive. From what I can ascertain, at that point, life expired from my physical body, and for a period of 15 minutes, I appeared as I was pronounced clinically dead. As for me, I thought I'd gone to sleep, but with a strange recollection and feeling that I didn't have to fight any longer. I suddenly found myself awake, instead of lying down in a hospital bed, standing upright. And instead of in a room with doctors and nurses, I found to my amazement it was pitch black. I thought, why on earth would those doctors turn the lights out in here? I don't believe that. What kind of hospital is that? It's enough to spin any patient out. Why have they turned the lights out? As I stood there, peering into the dark, I thought perhaps my pupils are dilated. I need to let them adjust to the dark. Now, I'm a night diver, so I'm used to pitch black conditions. Couldn't see a thing. Turning around the darkness, I moved 360 degrees around, but to my amazement, no light whatsoever. I thought, what's happened? Oh, well, don't panic. Just reach out, find the light switch, find the wall and turn the lights on. I put my foot out. Have you ever been over to a friend's place and needed to go to the toilet in the middle of the night? Ever walked into a wall or a closet? Well, I was aware of the fact that I was in a hospital and I didn't want to trip over anything, so I put my foot out, well, so I thought, a hospital, and I couldn't find any wall. I thought, have they moved me or something? Perhaps the lights are out, they don't want to wake the other patients up, so maybe they've moved me to the general ward while I've been asleep. I'll go back to my bed. I'm sure near my bed there should be a lamp. They normally have lamps near them. I can turn that on. That shouldn't wake the others up. Where's the bed? Oh, you idiot, no, you've lost the bed. How on earth did you do that? What's going on in here? Have you ever talked to yourself? I'm trying to find this bed. I can't find it. The next thought that comes through my mind is that it's so dark in here, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. So I bring, just in reflex, action to that thought, my hand up to where my face should be. As I do, my hand seems to pass straight through. Oh, that's impossible. You can't miss your head. It's not that dark in here. Two hands. As I brought both hands up to where my face should be, both hands seemed to pass straight through. Oh, where's my hand? My body? What's going on? As I went for different parts of my physical form, to my amazement, I had the sensation of a human being, but no longer in a physical form. How many know the spirit of a man is more real than your physical form, which is mere ash and dust? When a man dies, it says that his spirit leaves his body and returns to God. I found myself apparently outside of my physical form in a void of total darkness. I thought, what is this place? I began to sense this darkness wasn't just physical, but there was a pervading sense of cold and an evil sensation literally permeating the darkness. It seemed spiritually dark, not just physically. As I stood there, I began to feel as though something or someone in the, out there in the darkness was looking at me. I felt like eyes were looking at me from the midst of the darkness. I couldn't see anyone, but I had the eerie sensation that they were moving towards me. As I moved back from that sensation, I heard a man screaming at me to the right. He said, "Shut up." I said, "Nothing." Pulled my arm up to defend myself, not realizing that your inner thought is a speech. As I braced myself for the impact, another man to my right, who was unable to see, screamed at me from the darkness to my left. He said, "You deserve to be here. I deserve to be where?" "Where am I?" Another voice in front of me. "You're in hell. Now shut up." Well, I didn't believe in hell. As an atheist, I believe it was a religious trip put on people to scare them into their churches. Although if you scare a person enough, he might join your religion. I thought if there was a hell, party time. The older crew, wine, woman and song. The younger crew, what? Sex, drugs and rock and roll, headbanging, Ian Dury stuff. I thought, well, who'd want to be up there in the clouds with white sheets on, playing harps and having fat little babies with wings on firing arrows at you? This is a heathen's concept of heaven and hell, you see. I am standing in a total void of darkness. Very different, isn't it? No physical form, and yet you are there. You can't tell time. You can't get hungry. You can't see anything. You could be there 5 minutes to 5,000 years. The scriptures say that even angels have abandoned their proper domain in Jude, are held in chains of darkness until the day of judgment. Held in 2 Peter 2 in pits of darkness until the day of judgment. Held in outer darkness, Acts 26:18, a kingdom of darkness. I found myself apparently in this situation. As I stood there, a radiant shaft of pure white light pierced through the darkness. As this light touched my face, I felt an amazing warmth and sensation as this light enveloped me, and my entire body just began to lift off the ground. And I found myself translated, delivered out of this darkness and brought up into this glorious light. As I looked up, I could see that this light was emanating from a circular opening far above me. Somehow, like a speck of dust, I seemed to have been drawn towards this opening. I thought, is this real? Is this actually transpiring? Or am I hallucinating? What's going on? I look back to my right, and far beneath me, I can see the darkness trailing away. It's as though the light can pinpoint me. See, God says, where could you go from my presence? Even if you descend into the lower regions of the earth, yet shall I pursue you? I have called you. I know you. And darkness is as light to the Lord. And this light shines in the darkness. And the darkness flees. As I found myself being drawn up into this light, I came into this circular opening. As I entered it, I became aware it was the beginning of a circular shaped passageway or tunnel. As I looked along the length of it, the entire tunnel was full with light. As I looked to the far end, I could see the source of the radiance. My first impression was it's the center of the universe. Look at the intensity of that light. Not walking, but again being translated through the air at an amazing speed, I found myself being drawn towards the radiance. I watched as a wave of white light broke off in thicker intensity and moved up towards me. As this light passed into me, comfort came forth from this light. My entire person seemed to be comforted by this light. I thought, that light, it looks like laser light in its intensity, but I felt an emotion. It seems like it's a living light. What is that? What's down there? As I moved further towards the source, another wave of radiance came up. As this light passed into me, total peace enveloped me. Ever had peace in your life? Ever looked for peace of mind? I tried many avenues, but I tell you what, this peace is not from this world, but it's from the Prince of Peace. And once you make peace with your Maker, you'll have true peace within yourself, and you'll be able to be at peace with your fellow man. But it's His peace that surpasses all understanding. And He said His peace will not leave us. And as this peace flooded me, I came through this wave of peace and thought, in the darkness, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. Perhaps in this light, I can see my hands. I turned instantly to the right to see myself stop in the tunnel, and I could see straight through the arm in my hand, which was transparent in a spirit-like form. I thought, what's happened? It's full of light. What's going on? Seeming to have stopped there, I thought, I don't want to stop here. I don't know what's happened to me, but I want to see more. What's down there? As I looked towards the light, I moved closer. Another wave came up. This time, joy. Unconditional joy flies through me. You ever had joy in your life? Some of you look like you could need do with some. Yeah, wave of joy flooded me. See, religion just makes you look like the walking dead, but a relationship with God brings true joy and true peace and true fulfillment. As His joy and peace flowed through me, I came out of the end of this tunnel, and where my view had been constricted by the sheer size and nature of the tunnel, I now had unrestricted access to this light. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I looked to see light seeming fill the universe. As I looked towards the central core, it was so bright, so full of light. It was like a white fire in its intensity. I thought, that's the center of all life and light and power. I could see shafts of radiance coming out in the most spectacular fashion. I thought, even the stars in the universe, even the constellations must find their energy source from this focal point. What is that? Is that just an energy source of good in the cosmos? Is that just the power source of light? Or is there potentially a person standing in the midst of that radiance, surrounded by the splendor? As I questioned that to myself, a man spoke to me directly from the center of the light and called me by name. As I heard him speak to me, I instantly recognized his voice to be the same voice that asked me to forgive those men in the ambulance when I saw the Lord's Prayer appear before me. He said, Ian, do you wish to return? I thought, Ian, he knows my name. There is someone there. Return where? Where am I? As I looked behind me, I could see the same circular-shaped tunnel dissipating back into darkness. I thought, darkness? Hospital bed. My physical body. Have I somehow left my physical form? Am I dead or something? Have I been translated up this tunnel? Is this reality? Am I standing here? Or am I lying in the hospital bed in my physical form, comatized, having some bizarre dream or hallucination? Am I comatized, alive, or am I outside my physical form and this is reality? As I cognitively tried to grapple with that, it seemed for all intents and purposes, this was real. Looking back towards the light, I responded, I said, I do not know where I am. If I am out of my physical form, I wish to return. I do not know where I am. He spoke again. He said, Ian, if you wish to return, you must see in a new light. I thought, if I want to go back, I must see in a new light. What does that mean? Light. See the light. Look at this light. I'm seeing the light. Are you the true light? Words appeared in front of me. God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. I had read these words on a Christmas card in Bantry Bay in Cape Town the Christmas before I went to Mauritius. I had never read a Bible in my life, so I had no idea that these words are straight out of the New Testament. No idea. I thought the 1 John 1:5, hieroglyphics. I'd wondered what these words were. I'd looked at them at Bantry Bay when I read the Christmas card. Here, now standing, I see the words, God is light. I thought, look at that light. It's pure light. And in Him there's no darkness. Darkness. I've just come from darkness. Whoever this is, I see no shadow, no evil, nothing but pure light. Is that Almighty God in the midst of that radiance and light? I thought it could be. Whoever He is, He knows my name. I didn't tell Him my name. Only God could do that. He also seems to know what I'm thinking. He knows my inner thought. Before I even speak, He knows my heart. I thought, if He can do that, then His radiance and light must be able to search out everything I've done wrong in my life. I must be totally open and transparent before Him. I thought, no. I don't want God to see my life. They must have made a horrendous mistake and brought the wrong person up here. I should crawl back under some rock or go back into the pit where I belong. I don't belong in the presence of God. I'm not a good man. I'm not a good man. I don't belong here. As I pulled back from the light of His presence, I watched as a wave of radiant light came towards me. And as this light came over me, pure love began to flood me. I thought, you can't love me. Another wave of love. My entire body tingled as His presence just seemed to fill me. I said, I've cursed you. I've taken your name in vain. More of His love kept coming. I said, God, I've slipped around. I'm not a clean man. I've done heaps of things wrong. More, this time I felt an unconditional acceptance coming forth from the light. It seemed no matter what I'd done in my life, He had already forgiven it. And I felt as though He totally embraced every part of who I was. I didn't realize until later when I asked God, how could that happen? How could I stand in His presence? He said, Ian, in the ambulance, you asked me to forgive you of your sins? I said, yes. He said, son, in that ambulance, I heard the cry of your heart, because those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, I cleansed your spirit as white as snow in that ambulance. I washed your sins away, and I extended my mercy and grace to you, which allowed you to stand in my presence. Knowing none of this, all I could sense was His love. As it continued to come, I began to weep. I don't know about you, folks, but when God touches me, I weep. There's something very deep. He just kept coming. I found myself crying like a small boy. My father had taught me, men do not cry, only boys. I had controlled my emotions for over 12 years. No tears could be seen in this man. My heart was like stone. But when God's love came over me, I howled like a small boy. I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. As I lifted my face up, I opened my eyes to see that I was now encased, just surrounded in pure white radiance. My entire person was enveloped like pure love. As I stood there, the waves of light ebbed and ceased. I thought, I'm so close. I wonder if God would permit me to step through the light that surrounds Him and see Him face to face. If that's God, I could ask Him the meaning and truth to life. I wonder if He'd permit me to step in and see Him. I said, God, could I come in? He said, nothing. So I began to step towards the light, thinking that if He could accept me as I was, surely He wouldn't mind if I came in. As I moved towards this cloud of radiant glory, my entire person seemed to disappear and absorbed inside this light. As I moved in, I found that it was like veils of suspended radiance, shimmering in the most spectacular fashion. As I continued to aim towards the brightest part of that light, I had an overwhelming sense that this light was healing my heart. Ever had a broken heart? Ever looked for love in relationships and been rejected? Well, my heart had been broken through many relationships. Because you tell you what, when you follow the lifestyle I did, you'll destroy yourself. I felt like I was the walking dead. I pressed the self-destruct button years ago. But as I walked in, I felt unconditional love touching the depth of who I was. As this love continued to come, I thought, would God let me see Him? Will I just see this light? Is there any way that Almighty God will permit me to see His form? I kept walking. As I did, it opened. As it seemed to open up, I looked out, and the first thing I saw was a man's bare feet. Around his ankles were shimmering white garments, not garments of cloth, the garments of pure white light, the same substance of what I just walked through. It seemed an entire garment had been made of the splendor in this light. As it shimmered in the most amazing way, I began to lift my face up to see the chest of a man and his hands outstretched as if to welcome me. As I looked towards his face, his entire face was eclipsed with a light
It was seven times brighter than anything I had just walked through. His entire countenance, it seemed like light was coming out of the pores of his very skin. His entire face shone with an intensity of laser light. As I looked towards his face, I could feel coming forth from this light a purity and a holiness seemed to be coming forth off this light. And to a man who's not pure, and to a man who's not holy, it's the most beautiful thing. I knew as I looked upon this person, I was looking upon God. And I thought, no one could have a face that shines like the sun and have light that fills the heavens. Who but God could have that kind of radiance and light coming forth from him? As I looked towards him, I felt no fear, I felt no judgment, I felt as though I could come closer. As I moved closer towards him, more of his peace and more of his radiance seemed to emanate into me. I came within a few feet of his presence and began to place my face into the light, hoping that if I could see the face of God, I would know who God was. As I began to place my face into the radiance, he began to move, and all the light that surrounded him moved to the right simultaneously as he stepped to one side, not permitting me to see the form of his face. I had no idea at that time that no man sees the face of God and lives. In my total ignorance, I was trying to look upon the King of Glory. I tell you what, I won't be trying to do that next time. Because he's worthy of all praise. I'll hit the deck like a dead man. Because no man glorifies in the presence of God. No man. And as he moved, and all his radiance, and all his splendor and glory moved, I could see that he was stepping aside as though he was wanting to show me something behind him. As I looked, I saw the same circular shape opening as the tunnel I'd apparently just come down. As I looked out, I could see fields and pastures open up before my very eye. I looked out and saw a crystal clear stream, or like a river working its way through the fields. I thought, what is this place? It's like a new planet. I looked out to my right and saw rolling green hills, mountains going off into the distance, blue, blue sky. To my left, I could see trees and flowers with a valley going off to my left. In front of me, the pasture had the same power and light and radiance as upon God, emanating right through the creation. I thought, if I stepped on that, it wouldn't be damaged. Nothing could damage it. Having studied agronomy, I could see no sickness, no death, no rust, nothing in the pasture. It was emanating life. As I stood there, I thought, why on earth wasn't I born here in the first place? Why was I born on this miserable planet? Every part of me knew somehow that God had created me to live here. How many feel like you're an alien or a sojourner traveling through this planet? Well, God said, I have created a new heaven and a new earth for those who love me. And he said, I go and prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would not have told you so. As I stood there, I started to enter in and his presence came right back in front of me. As he did, he blocked the way and said, Ian, now you've seen, do you wish to go in or do you wish to return? What would you do? And somehow you came into the presence of Almighty God and you had a glimpse into eternity. No more sickness, no more suffering, no more death, no more war, but eternal life, totally reunited with the King of Glory, the Master, and walk with God throughout eternity. Or come back to this planet, Apocalypse Now. I thought, no, I don't want to come back. I have nothing to come back for. I'm a single man, I have no children, I'm not married, God, nothing to come back for. He didn't move. I said, God, I have no debt. He still didn't move. I said, God, I have no mortgage, still not moving. I said, God, no one's loved me. In my life, no one has ever loved me and accepted me like you. Your presence has touched my heart of stone. I wish to remain with you. I do not want to return. So when you've seen the Lord, you don't want to return. You don't want to. Nothing in you wants to come back. Nothing. I thought, God, let me say goodbye, cruel world, for one last time. As I looked back behind me, right in front of the tunnel with a clear vision, I saw one person that had loved me and prayed for me. Try to show me the way of God. And I saw my dear mother standing there in a clear vision. as I saw her, it pierced me to the heart, and I thought, if I am dead and I step through into eternity, would my mother know I prayed? Would she know that God forgave me? Would she know that I made it? I thought my mother would have no idea that a heathenistic son would do that. She'd think he went straight to hell. I thought they could destroy her. For some reason, God's given me an opportunity to return. I said, God, I wish to return to tell my dear mother that what she believes in is real. I do not know how I came here, but if I return, I'll find out where this place is. I'll come back again, whether anyone believes me or not. If you've allowed me here once, I'm sure you'll allow me back here a second time. And I have total assurance in my heart that if I was to die now, I'm straight back into His radiant presence and step through into glory. I've not an ounce of the fear of death. It's like, do me a favor. But I'm not asking you to shoot me. I'm just saying, in God's time. So I'm standing there and I'm going, God. And he said, Ian, if you wish to return, you must see things in a new light. I said, what does that mean? Oh, your light. Your light gives off love. Your light gives off peace and joy. That means I must see through your eyes of love. I must see from your perspective, from an eternal perspective, from a heavenly one, not a temporary earthly one. I understand. See, when God's love comes into you, you start loving people you'd normally not love. You start seeing through His eyes. It'll change you. It'll change your heart. And minister His light to you. As I stood there, I said, but God, how do I go back? Looking back towards my dad, my mother, I saw my dad next to her, my brother, my sister, and thousands of people. I thought, God, why are you showing me all these people? There's thousands of them. I didn't even know them. He said, son, if you don't return, many of these people will most likely not get an opportunity to hear about me, because most will no longer step inside a church to hear my name. I said, God, neither would I. I wouldn't go to church. I don't know them. I don't love them. I love my mother. I wish to return for her. He said, son, I love these people. And I desire all of them to come to know me. So the heart of God is so great that He wishes everyone to have an opportunity to come to the foot of the cross. To kneel before God Almighty. Have their sins forgiven. Experience His unconditional cleansing and love. Be purified for the inner man, purified as white as snow, and come into a relationship with Him, the living Savior, the Christ, the Messiah. I said, God, how do I go back then? Back down that tunnel, back into darkness, and back into my body. I do not know how I came here. He said, Ian, tilt your head. Now feel the liquid drain from your eye. Now open your eye and see. I was instantly, as he spoke, back in my physical form, with my right eye open, looking down the length of my body, with a doctor with a scalpel in his hand, working on the base of my foot like a dead piece of meat. Totally oblivious that I was looking at him. Father, what's happened? What's a man doing with a knife? What's he doing with my foot? As I'm thinking that, the doctor gets a shake, turns his head, and his two eyes look into my one eye, staring at him. As the doctor sees my one eye staring at him, his face goes as white as a sheet. He goes, oh, and then he goes up into the ceiling, hanging onto my foot. I thought, this guy thinks I'm dead. What's happened to me? Did I just see God? The doctor looked again, because doctors are taught not to panic. He's looking for an involuntary reaction. As I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, what's happened? God spoke over my thoughts and said, son, I have just given your life back. I thought, God, if that's true, could you please help me tilt my head to the left and look out the other eye? I'm getting sick of looking at him. I found strength come back to my neck. It rolled as I opened my left eye 10 feet in the doorway where the nurses and orderlies that had been working on me. I had one nurse crouched down looking. Her friend must have been over her shoulder. This poor girl got the shock of her life and came up. Bam! Two nurses out of the doorway. I thought, what's happening? I looked at the doctor, he was still shaking like a leaf, holding my foot in his hand, the scalpel trembling in his right. I thought, what's going on? There must be a logical reason why I'm alive. There must be someone with on the heart. I looked to my right, no one. I thought, that's impossible. You can't bring a man back to life by holding on to his right foot or gaping through a doorway. You need mouth to mouth, CPR. You need kickstart on the heart. You need something to bring that man back.
I lay there, from what I can ascertain, 15 minutes, no oxygen to the brain, dead. Which meant, in my understanding as a diver, that I would never walk again. I would be a vegetable, I would be on a life support system, my entire central nervous system's gone, I'll be a vegetable. As I lay there, I said, God, if you've just given my life back to you, me, could you please heal me? Could you please do another miracle and enable me to walk out of this hospital and live a normal life? As I lay there, he didn't take me back into his presence, but I felt wave after wave of warmth and a radiance that felt like electricity. That's a natural word for what was happening to me supernaturally. It seemed to be tingling right through my entire person. Within a few hours, my entire body was healed. I had total movement back, and the last thing to come back in was feeling, and I kicked my big toe and my other toe as they moved me into the general ward. I was completely healed. The next day I discharged myself from the hospital, walking out under my own steam. I believe in the supernatural resurrection power of Almighty God, that He does do miracles today. As I walked out, I said, God, what's happening? What's happened to me? He said, you are a reborn Christian. I said, I've never heard of that. What does that mean? You have to die or something, come back to life? I've heard of Christianity, I've heard of Catholics and Baptists and Methodists. What on earth is reborn? He said, read a Bible. I said, I don't have a Bible. I have never read one. He said, ask your father for one. On my return to New Zealand, I asked my father for a Bible, and within 6 weeks, I read for the first time in my life the scriptures from Genesis to Revelations. My family thought I had flipped out. When you read the entire Bible in 6 weeks and do nothing else, it's a little bit strange. But I was intense. I wanted to see and find out what I'd missed out on all those 24 years. As I read the Word of God, I said, God, what happened? He said, Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. You prayed that, son, for the first time in your life from your heart, and you were born again in my spirit, John 3:3, in the ambulance when you prayed the prayer of repentance. You made me Savior by asking forgiveness of your sins. And I said, why did I have to forgive the Chinese and Indian man? These are two men that I couldn't forgive. He said, son, if you don't forgive others that have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins and transgressions against him. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. I said, I'm glad I forgave them. He said, son, on the cross, my son Jesus forgave those who crucified him. He said, I want you to have a heart of forgiveness. Bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart is like a cancer. It'll eat you up from the inside out. He said, but if you forgive, I can heal you. I can make you whole. And I'll bring my presence into your life. I said, what's this thing about will? He said, that's lordship. You surrendered your will to me, made me Lord and Savior. I said, God, I seem to travel into a tunnel of light. Where is that in the scripture? He said, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, narrow and small is the way that leads into the kingdom of God, and few find it. Broad and wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many find it. I said, God, people say there are hundreds of ways to you, and Christianity is only one of the pathways that leads into your presence. What do you say? He said, John 14, verse 6, my son Jesus clearly taught that he was the way, that he was the life, that he was the light, that no man came to the Heavenly Father but through him. Oh, that's amazing. He said, Ian, how many tunnels did you see? I said, one. He said, narrow is the way that leads into my presence. I said, God, waves of love and peace and joy. He said, Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of my Holy Spirit is love, peace and joy. He said, my spirit gives life. Life eternal, resurrection life. Those who come to me shall have life and life abundantly. I said, God, I came out and there was a man standing in radiance that seemed to fill the heavens. Who was that? What was that? He said, Revelations 21, 23, in the center, the Lamb of God was in the center of the light. And this light and radiance so surrounded Jesus that in the new heavens, in the new earth, you will not need the light of the sun, the light of the moon, or the light of a lamp, because the radiance and splendor of the glory of Jesus, the Lamb of God, will fill eternity. I said, I came into that light. He said, Ian, the veil has been torn into the Holy of Holies, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we have entry in through the blood of the Lamb to look upon His form and glory and be transformed in an inner man from glory to glory. He said, Son, through the blood of my Son Jesus, we can come into the holy place. We can come boldly into the throne of grace and find our help in time of need. I said, I couldn't see His face. He said, you will not see His face until you are with Him in eternity, in heaven. Revelation 22:5, we shall see Him face to face in the new heavens and the new earth. I said, He stepped aside. He said, John 10:7-9, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Those who come into me shall be saved and go in and out and find green pastures. I said, He stepped aside like a door. Green pastures. He said, new heaven, new earth. 2 Peter 3:10-18, He said, I have created a new place for you. If it wasn't so, I would not have told you. How many are happy that God's created a place for you? And that you're heaven bound. You're going into His presence. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To live is to live for Christ. To die is gain. He said, Ian, the sting of death was not the box jellyfish. It's not a cobra. It's not a cancer. It is not war. The sting of death is sin. But the free gift of God is those who repent from their sins, turn from their wickedness, turn from darkness, turn from filth, turn from perversion, and come to me. I will forgive, cleanse. I'll remove the sting of death and give them the free gift of eternal life. He said, you will live with me, seated in heavenly places. I have called you, predestined you from this foundation of the earth to be a son of light. Hallelujah. I said, these people, he said, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, I wish that none would perish, but all would come to repentance and salvation. Now I'm going to close with a scripture. I said, God, people won't believe me that it happened. He said, Ian, they didn't believe me when I rose from the dead. He said, even if the dead come back and preach, people still not believe. They have the law of Moses. They have the law of the prophets. He said, son, there's enough given out to convict them of their sin. I said, God, what can I share from the scriptures that relates to my experience? He said, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 4. Paul the apostle said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether is in his body or out of his body, the Bible says God knows that this man was caught up into the third heaven, into paradise. I said, God, what are you saying? He said, Ian, can doctors make mistakes? I said, yes. Could you be mistaken? I said, yes. He said, son, if people have difficulty with your testimony, whether you're in your body or out of your body, who do you think knows? I said, you do. He said, if they have problems with your experience, refer them to me. Because if that was just a hallucination or a dream or a revelation of Jesus and I was in my physical body, I can't wait for the real thing. But whether I was in my body or out of my body, I know I saw the Lord. I know I saw Jesus Christ in His glorified, resurrected form. He died for your sins. If you care to humble yourself this evening, your life could be transformed. You could be born again of the Spirit of the living God and brought to a living relationship. God says the only thing that separates you from Him is your sin. But if you repent of your sin, turn, He will come to you and make Himself real. Because without faith in Him, it's impossible to please God. Pastor Ed.